Front Page Dramas. The roar of the presses. Every week, these giant presses roll and keep rolling at tremendous speed, 15,000 an hour, until every last one of the 7 million copies of the American Weekly has gone through in full color.
Great fiction.
Interesting features.
Factual articles.
Color illustrations. All these are found in every issue of the American Weekly. All these go to make up the nation's reading habit, another name for the American Weekly, which comes to you every week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. This is the saga of old Bill Jones, one of those iron men who sailed before the mast in those immortal Yankee clippers. The story of his fight for life in the dreaded Sargasso Sea, that foul spot in the Atlantic, where the mighty ocean's currents drag great masses of clinging weeds and gather them into a tremendous thick tangle in a sort of gigantic whirlpool where all the winds and currents center and suck into the morass all the old derelicts and victims of the storms at sea. Bill Jones was first made aboard the Florida, a sailing vessel of some 900 tons bound for Baltimore with a load of ironwood and palm oil gathered from West African ports. About 400 miles due east, the ship ran into a terrific hurricane.
Hoist things up above.
There's no hope now.
Hey.
The boats are off
safe.
We haven't got a chance to
weather
it now.
Pulling up fast. The water's filled the hole.
Aye.
That iron wood will drag us down like a stone.
I've got all hands lashing a raft together. We've got stores of beef and biscuit and fresh water made fast to it.
I do. Then what?
Then we'll abandon ship. There's one chance in a thousand that any of us will get out of this, but let's try it and trust to the Lord.
All right, Bill, let's go.
Come on.
My head. What happened? Where are we?
We got a bad blow on the back of the head. That last heavy sea washed us overboard. Luckily, you were tangled up in a heavy line and it was lashed to the raft. When it slid over, it came right side up and towed you along. I climbed aboard and dragged you up and made you fast.
I owe you my life now.
Oh, forget that. Here, take a little of this brandy. Give you strength. You're going to need it.
Yeah, that helps. Where in the name of holy heaven are we? What's all that stuff?
Weeds, Seth, weeds. Thick, tangled weeds. We're in the Sargasso Sea.
And it's crawling. Alive with crabs, eels, insects.
Yeah.
Seth, look! There to the south! Look, a ship! By the saints above. You're right. I'll pull off my shirt and signal her. I'll get... Ahoy! Ahoy there! These weeds are closing in tighter around us now, Bill.
I
suppose that ship is held fast in this ugly mess.
Well, keep pushing and shoving, Seth. I can make her out quite plain now.
She must have been a fairly good three master. I think I can read her name now. The Radcliffe. Homeport, Bristol.
Ahoy there! Ahoy aboard there!
It's no use, Seth. There can't be anyone on her.
She don't look to be in such bad shape, Bill. Maybe if she's abandoned,
we could board her. Put her in ship shape and sail her back to port. Come on, Seth. Let's get to work and roll this raft alongside.
Can't stand it. Can't stand it, I tell you. I'll go crazy.
Easy now, Seth. Easy. Don't let yourself go.
I won't. It's a mockery. It's a life among death, day after day, night after night.
Seth, this sullen, oppressive silence. The very air of death, that's what it is. And then the stench from those rotting hulks, Seth.
Ghost ships manned by skeletons of dead men.
Listen, man, don't give way to it. We're going to get out of this.
That's fool's talk. That's what it is. We're trapped. Trapped just like that old Spanish galleon over there. It's been trapped for hundreds of years. We can't get away.
Hold on, Seth. Now listen to me.
Listen.
Pay attention to every word I say. If you don't, we're lost.
Hey, Bill, I'm all right now. Go on. Go ahead.
All right, look. There's a long boat floating by upside down.
What?
The current and suction of the weeds are holding it alongside us. You see that?
Hey. A long boat over the side there.
All right, now listen. Here's my plan. Tie a line around my waist. And I'm going to dive over the side. You stay up here on deck and hold the other end of the line fast. You hear me? Do you understand?
Yes.
But, all right, now listen carefully now. I'm going to make the line fast to that boat. And then you run your end through this block and windlass. You have that?
Aye, Bill, I do.
I tied another line fast to that stump of the mainmast and dropped the end over the side so I could haul myself up again.
Right, you are, Bill.
All right. That's the idea, Seth. Come on. We'll fasten the mast to her.
Yeah.
Small lug sail.
Yeah.
Take the compass and chronometers out of here, and we can sail her away.
All right, Bill. All right.
All right. Come on,
Bill.
Here. There's the longboat to you.
Yeah.
All right, right. Give me that line. I'll tie it around my waist.
Here we are.
Now, you play it out as I tell you.
All right.
Right there. Stand by, Seth.
Over I go.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Lay out the line, Seth.
Aye, aye, Bill. She's coming.
I'm making the line fast now. Lay out a little more line.
All right.
Easy now. That's the ticket.
She made fast, Bill.
Just a minute. Aye, aye, Seth. All right, I'm coming aboard again. Stand by to haul away. Haul away, Seth. Haul away.
Well, how do you like it, Seth? I'd never think she was the same slimy old longboat full of weeds and crabs and eels we hauled out of the water a few days ago.
No, sirree, Bill. She sounds a dollar trim and neat as a yacht.
That's a mighty fine paint job on her, too.
Everything's loaded aboard now.
All right. Let's blow her away, Seth. All right. Come on.
She's launched.
All right, over we go now. All right, shove it off, Seth.
All right.
Goodbye, Radcliffe of Bristol. You've been a good old ship, and we hate to leave you.
Hoist the lugsail, Bill. The breeze is freshening.
Aye, aye, Seth. Away we go.
Poor man, boy. Don't give up now.
Oh, the weeds. The weeds. We're leaving the weeds behind. Poor man.
I don't know, but it appears to be better to me. Tony, do you realize?
Yep, yep. By Joshua, he ought to. This is 40 hours he's been like this. Time he took a turn for the better.
Poor man, poor sick. Out of the Norwest, the full rigger. We've got to signal them. We've got...
I don't know what them two have been through, Eli, but I'm telling you here and now. It must have been a hell of sure left its mark on him.
Yep. Anything that could break a man of his physique down must have been something awful.
Where am I? Seth.
Here he is. Hand me that glass. We'll force a little more of this between his lips.
Where am I?
Now, easy, man, easy. Here, take a little bit of this. Open your mouth. Yeah, that's better.
Who are you? Did we make it?
Yep, you made it all right. You're safe aboard the Nantucket Clipper. Bound for home. Newburyport.
Oh, thank heaven. Thank heaven.
You have just heard the front page drama, 20 Days of Terror, one of the many dramatic and colorful stories told in the concluding installment of When the Yankee Clipper Ruled the Seven Seas. Written by Captain Dave Landers, one of the last of the old Yankee Clipper captains, who has been retelling his many adventures each week in the American Weekly. Now we have another dramatic and highly important feature for you. Please listen.
No, you can't do this to me. This is an outrage. I am a respectable citizen. Never been arrested in my life. What do you mean by treating me like a criminal?
Carelessness is a crime. And you are guilty of arson, sabotage, yes, and even murder.
Why? How dare you make such accusations? Where are you? Who are you?
I am the voice of the forest, the voice of the millions of trees destroyed each year by people like you, the voice of the countless birds, animals, and unfortunate wildlife who die when their homes are devastated by thoughtless, careless people like you. I speak for the thousands of your fellow citizens whose homes, property, and recreation are wiped out. I accuse you in the name of the hundreds of brave men who toil in the blazing heat, the blinding smoke, who risk their lives and sometimes die in the flaming holocaust you create.
I tell you, I'm innocent of such dastardly crimes. I wouldn't think...
That's just it. You wouldn't think. So let me take you back to that hot, dry, sultry day last August. You and your family are driving through the woods. Leisurely, you smoke your cigarettes. You've had a 12-day good fishing, a picnic. Your wife and children in the back seat are tired and happy. Now you take one last puff from the cigarette. What are you going to do with it?
No! Don't do that!
Too late. You've thrown it out of the car window, right to those pine cones and needles. You thoughtlessly drive on, but let me show you now what you left behind. The cigarette butt smolders a while, and then it bursts into flames. You see how quickly the flames are spreading, leaping into the brushwood, licking it up the trees.
Service forces have been enlisted in a fierce battle now being waged to fight the most devastating forest fire the state has seen.
That is your work. You who protest his innocence, who calls himself a patriotic, respectable citizen, you are guilty of the worst of all crimes, carelessness and thoughtlessness.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is a grim picture, but one that must be forcibly impressed upon the mind of every citizen. And with this commendable thought in mind, the American Weekly is cooperating with the United States Forest Service of the Department of Agriculture in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly. First, there is the front cover, a faithful reproduction of a striking painting in full color depicting a crew of firefighters at work in a burning forest. This colorful work of art was painted expressly for the American Weekly in cooperation with the United States Forest Service by the distinguished American artist, James Montgomery Flagg. This impressive painting will also be reproduced on 300,000 posters to be distributed to government, civic, and patriotic agencies throughout the country by the Forest Service of the United States Department of Agriculture. There will also be a very timely and educational feature article entitled Why Forest Defense is National Defense by Earl Clapp, Acting Chief Forest Service, together with a foreword by the Honorable Claude R. Wickard, Secretary of Agriculture. Your family should see these two outstanding features in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly. So remember, order and insist upon the Hearst Sunday newspaper that brings you the American Weekly. Dramas. The roar of the presses. Every week these giant presses roll and keep rolling at tremendous speed, 15,000 an hour, until every last one of the 7 million copies of the American Weekly has gone through in full color.
Great fiction, interesting features,
factual articles, color illustrations. All these are found in every issue of the American Weekly. All these go to make up the nation's reading habit, another name for the American Weekly, which comes to you every week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. 2 weeks ago, we presented the front page drama, The Ugly Duckling Spy, wherein we revealed a new technique in Nazi espionage methods. Evidently, this new technique failed, and we now find the Gestapo and the German military intelligence service uniting in a new method of securing secret agents in embattled Britain. Listen now as we reveal this new form of intrigue in this week's front page drama, Escape in the Night. Once again, we...